97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon, and we are joined by Phil Holloway, a Fox News legal analyst in Atlanta, former assistant district attorney and former police officer. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you, Joe.
Hey, you know, Phil, before we talk about the shootings today, can you describe where Fort Stewart is in Georgia?
All right, so Fort Stewart is more, I guess, in the Savannah, Georgia area. It's about 40 miles outside of Savannah. Some people like to say it's in the extended Atlanta metro area, but I would say more closer to Savannah over on the Georgia coast.
All right, and this morning, an Army sergeant opened fire. What do we know at this point?
Yeah, so according to the reports, and I'm sure we're all looking at the same ones, you know, we've got this Army sergeant reportedly had maybe some recent arrest for driving under the influence, and I think there was some, you know, some domestic problems. And, you know, having served as a judge advocate in the Navy, a lawyer in the Navy, I can tell you that, you know, on military bases, the military is made up of people from the general public, right? Just like police forces and radio hosts and lawyers and everybody else. We all come from the same pot of people in the general public. So the same problems that apply in the civilian community also apply in military communities. And by that, I mean military bases, because people live there. They have homes, they have families, they have children, they have sometimes they have schools, and, you know, they're like little miniature towns and cities in many instances. And so, you know, we're going to see the same problems with stress, with alcohol abuse, with drug abuse, with, unfortunately, with violence and domestic intranquility. We're going to see all of those things on military bases, just like we do out in town, so to speak. And this is an example of just that. You know, at first we kind of were wondering, okay, is this some kind of terrorism? Is this some foreign adversary? Or are we potentially under attack? But I think we were able to extrapolate pretty quickly once we saw that the base was, you know, it was on full lockdown, but then they were shrinking the size of the lockdown area. That signaled to me that this was more of a localized issue and that it would probably be over pretty quickly, which it was.
So now you talk about how it's, you know, it's a small city. People live on base. So it's not rare for someone to, you know, have a personal weapon on top of their military weapon when on base?
No, not at all. And a lot of people in the military don't have an issued military weapon necessarily. But you know, there are provisions in place. People are allowed to own firearms. Some in many instances are allowed to bring them on the base and have guns in their homes. So they live in on base. So, you know, it's different from base to base. And yeah, I remember back, I think it was in the George Bush in his first administration, I think, after 9/11, they tried to make military bases a so-called gun-free zone. And I've never been a fan of a gun-free zone because all it does is it creates a soft target. I, for one, this is maybe a controversial take. I've been catching some flack on Twitter today or on X because I posted, I said, look, this is the armed forces, right? Why can't people that we trust to be in our armed forces actually be armed when they're at work on base? Because military police, just like civilian police, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. And so if there had been bystanders that were armed and able to take care of the issue in that moment, I'm sure that's what would have happened. And so I really think we need to, by we, I mean the Department of Defense and the command structure needs to revisit and rethink whether we're going to allow these men and women who we trust to defend our country, or we're going to let them defend themselves when it comes to their personal safety on base.
I agree. I mean, even, you know, if I see a business and it says gun-free zone, I go, well, Who's going to follow the rule? The law-abiding citizen. Who's not? The person who wants to.
Well, in the state of Georgia, those signs are meaningless. So when I see gun-free zone, that makes me know that I need to go ahead and make sure I have my concealed weapon with me because it's a soft target. So in the state of Georgia, you know, those signs don't have any legal effect. People can ask you to leave and you got to leave, but there's no legal prohibition. But now, of course, the laws in the state of Georgia don't apply on, at least in that context, don't apply on the military base. Right. So that's going to be entirely up to the federal authorities and the Department of Defense.
Phil, you know, I know I'm asking for you to speculate, but, you know, we have an Army sergeant, right? I mean, this is someone that obviously trusted on base. What do you think, what kind of things do you think would lead to someone to want to act like this? Again, I mean, with fellow soldiers, I mean, these are people that you serve with. These are, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be a tight community.
Well, if you extrapolate out into the society at large, we see people who have, let's just say, have marital problems, they have financial problems, they have maybe substance abuse issues and all of the above, and sometimes they just snap, right? And so this unfortunately happens in the real world, out in society, so it's going to happen on the base. We don't know what happened, but look, it's not hard for me to speculate or imagine that someone who's facing all of those issues is maybe sort of primed to snap, and that's just what happens. So, we got to focus on making sure our military members have the support that they need when they are facing issues such as substance abuse or when they're facing domestic relations problems. If they're under stress, they need marital counseling. We need to make sure they have the tools to deal with those stressors in a healthy and proper way so that hopefully this kind of thing can be prevented.
So, he shot five. Fortunately, they are all expected to survive. What does the investigation look like, and what will the suspect be facing?
All right. So it's going to look pretty much like you would expect it to look like if it were, say, the Savannah police investigating this. Undoubtedly, he's going to be facing charges of aggravated assault, possession of a firearm, and the UCM, Uniform Code of Military Justice, is going to have equivalents of these things, right? So something like aggravated assault, possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime, most definitely is going to be facing probably a general court-martial, could be facing prison, incarceration, obviously reduction in rank, and perhaps being removed from the service. But interestingly enough, technically would not be removed from the service until after he serves any jail sentence or prison sentence that he might get. But he's going to get the full treatment from the federal prosecutors or, in this case, probably the military prosecutors, the judge advocates that will prefer these charges. And I suspect that after they do a thorough investigation, we're going to see the court-martial process begin.
So that's a military process, a military court process, since it was on the base?
Yeah, it's going to be the military is going to take the lead. Now, there are some bases that have concurrent jurisdiction. They have agreements with the local communities, but there's no reason for the local police or the local prosecutors to be prosecuting this. This is going to go through the military system. They're well capable of handling whatever prosecution needs to happen. They've got prisons, they got prosecutors, they got defense lawyers, they got courts and judges and the whole thing. The military justice system is very robust, well capable of handling this case.
All right. Well, Phil, and as we learned a few hours ago, I mean, Fort Stewart, it's back at full operation, and any kind of lockdown or anything, as you said, has been lifted.
Yes, that's my understanding. And, imagine in St. Louis, if there were a shooting in downtown and there's a massive police response, they get it all under control. Within hours, they're going to open the streets back up and St. Louis is going to go back to business as usual. And that's kind of what's happening here.
All right. Well, Phil Holloway joining us from Atlanta. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. I do have one unrelated question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'm all ears.
You're in Atlanta. Are you guys ready for Hokie Nation to take over Labor Day weekend?
Well, we don't want to talk about that necessarily, but let's just say Atlanta's prepared for everything.
All right, sounds great. Hey, Phil, great talking to you. Thank you so much.
All right, you bet. Take care.
That is Phil Holloway, a Fox News legal analyst in Atlanta, former assistant district attorney and former police officer. His takes on the shootings, the suspect is in custody, 5 shot. They are all expected to survive. And obviously thoughts and prayers with them and that they may, you know, they get through this. And again, you heard Phil talk about what the process will be now, since it happened on a base, and what the shooter, an Army sergeant, the suspect, an Army sergeant, but now in custody, and we'll have the law thrown at him. When we come back, we are going to take a look at what's going on in politics, and something that, you know, people get annoyed that I keep on harping on late night television and things like the Colbert Show being canceled. But you know what? I just get more examples of why this program, they ruined what was a great program, a great outline. They've ruined it. And I got 2 more examples of what I'm talking about when we come back. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.